The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, the SRI is today warning that higher energy prices as a result of the war in the Middle East will push up inflation to an expected 3.2% this year. That's higher than last year's rate of 2%. They have also pointed out, though, and argued that yesterday's fuel excise duty reduction fails to target the less well-off. Alan Barrett, research professor with the SRI, joined us. Alan, we'll get to the government's measures in a moment. First off, just give us the inflationary picture. How bad are things looking?
Sure. First, good afternoon, Shane. The way we went about trying to get some sort of a sense of what the impact is going to be is when we were putting the forecasts together, this would have been sort of last week, we looked at the futures market. I mean, it's very, very difficult for us to predict where oil prices are going. It's difficult for anybody, but the futures markets are at least sort of one guide. And we took that sort of sense of where the oil prices and the gas prices are moving. We then went back and looked at, well, how did inflation sort of unfold as a result of the energy price increases about sort of 4 years ago at the time of the Ukraine crisis. So taking those two bits of information together and sort of running the models forward gives us this sort of sense of maybe 1 percentage point on inflation relative to where it was last year. So, you know, that's a chunky enough amount, and that will be felt. The health warning, of course, over the forecast is even since we did that and looked at the futures markets last week, that oil price and that gas price has moved around a certain amount. Yeah. If anything, it's sort of gone up. So I'm already thinking that our estimate is probably on the low side. But we're kind of where sort of international organisations are at the moment, thinking about that sort of 1%, 1.5 percentage point onto this year's inflation rate.
I have heard some analysts looking at food price increases, claiming that we could be paying £600 or £700 a year more in terms of our household groceries because of events in Iran. Mm. Is that on the high side, do you think, or could you see that happening?
It strikes me as somewhat on the high side. I mean, there are the effects which are partly the sort of, transport related and the fuel input. There is this additional consideration, though, which is around nitrogen and components and fertilizers. So in a sense, then it's a sort of more direct effect on food supplies. And again, on the basis of economics of, supply goes down, price tends to go up. So that's a sort of an additional issue. Again, that's all related to how long this difficulty persists. And on something like sort of, food prices, those longer term effects, that could be a next year effect. If you think in terms of, planting cycles and all those sort of things. So like, I hate to be sort of, have to put it like this, but there's a wide range of possibilities here. And the one you've just mentioned has to be one of the possibilities, maybe with a low probability, but it could happen.
Okay. Now, the opposition parties have reacted really strongly against the government measures, talking about leaving people high and dry and being stingy and being miserable. You are taking a very different view on what the government is proposing.
Sure. Well, again, in the same way that we went back to the research a number of years ago to look at sort of, the price effects, we also went back to ESRI research that was done at the time of the Ukraine crisis to try and get a sort of an analytical sense of what's the best way of compensating households. And at the time, colleagues of mine sort of almost, produced a sort of a hierarchy of things. And the least preferred option was actually reducing taxes in the way that was done yesterday. And the reason for that is that when you reduce taxes on something like, energy, you're actually giving a bigger tax break to wealthier households, which I think on the grand scheme of things, most people would accept that that's probably not a great idea. And that's all about bigger, wealthier households having sort of bigger cars and more cars and all those sort of things. And it's clear in the data that the big beneficiaries from that sort of an effect are the wealthier people. The next best way of doing things, though, was actually the energy credits, where at least you gave the same amount of money to each household. Okay, that was to be preferred to the excise cut. But even on the energy credits, I mean, you're still giving checks to very wealthy households, which doesn't seem like a great idea. idea. And really, it seems the best approach to this was, and the government partly did this yesterday, it's to go through the welfare system and to really target resources. And again, just to be clear what we're trying to say here, I mean, the government yesterday spent €250 million. I mean, these things are expensive. It is really important that we protect people. But really, we need to sort of focus the resources at the lower end of the income distribution to make sure that those who need it most are actually getting adequate amounts of money to really, really compensate them.
The counter argument to that, I've heard it made, is what about the squeezed middle or the working poor? That there is a group out there who pay taxes for everything and would claim that and would argue they don't get anything back. And if you don't have some kind of measure for them, it's unfair. Mm. They're struggling to put petrol in their car or heat their houses.
I can see that argument. And I mean, if I was a politician, which thankfully I'm not, I probably then would have gone down that middle road, which is the energy credit where you're giving the same amount to every household, because then you are saying, OK, we're going to give something to everybody. I don't think it's ideal, but I can see the logic.
It's very expensive, isn't it? The credit mode. I suppose you don't have to give 300, you can give less, suppose.
No, but this is exactly it. I mean, the question is, if you decide, right, we're going to spend this amount of money and how are we going to distribute it? Okay, I think it makes most sense to try and get as much of it as possible towards people who need it most. And unfortunately, when you start cutting the taxes, everybody gets it. And we have this effect that you're actually giving a bigger tax break to wealthier houses. And that to me just seems like a bad idea. And like, just to be clear about this, if the payments have to be extended beyond May, like this is very expensive stuff. And, you know, it's really valuable because people need to be protected. But if you're going to take sort of, you know, essentially half of the cost of the tax reduction goes to the top 40% of households. And it just doesn't strike me as being a great way to really target those who are most in need.
Okay. Alan Barrett, Research Professor with the ESRI. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.